This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome home, Milers, and welcome back to another episode of Mickey Miles and More podcast, where three friends talk about their passion for the Disney parks and maybe even some Run Disney information. I'm Chris Eliopoulos, and with me, as always, is Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hi, Doc. What's up?
Hey, friend. How's it going?
It's going well. It's going well.
Oh, good. I have a shout out tonight.
Oh, you do? Do you?
Yes. It is to a very old and dear friend who is a sophomore at Tufts University. His name is Gabe Gonzalez, and his mom actually is our travel agent from MEI and Mass Fan Travel for our cruises. And she told me, I was talking to her on the phone this week, that Gabe listens every week, although she does not. So
wow.
Gabe out there in college in Medford, Massachusetts.
And I think
a big shout out to you, my friend.
And I think Mike might have a, speaking of, hi, Mike Scopa. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Mike.
Hello,
get on the mic.
Hello.
Do you have a little trivia question for Gabe?
Well, not to be outdone by my co-host. I would like to also say that Gabe is a friend of mine, and we've spent a time in a theme park, and Gabe and I always had little discussions, and Gabe always had trivia questions for me. So I'm going to give Gabe a trivia question tonight, but I'm not going to tell the answer. And Gabe's mom knows my email, so he can say to mom, hey, tell Mike that this is the answer. But here's the question for all of you, okay? I want you to think about Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Animal Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, and I want you to name three locations. I'm not saying four or five or all. I'm saying just give me three locations where you can be looking at a castle. You have to be outdoors, and you have to be looking at a castle. I want three locations. That's all. I'm not asking for four or five or even all, just three, Gabe. So if you're hearing me, Gabe, do some research, buddy.
Is it three different castles?
It's three different castles.
Oh.
Just three. I'm not asking for four or five or all of them. Just three. And you got to tell me where you can stand and see each castle.
It's three different castles.
Okay.
All right.
So
let me qualify it one more time.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Warning.
It cannot be, I'm standing on Main Street and I'm looking in the Crystal store window and I see a crystal rendition of the Cinderella Castle. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a castle, not a gift for a castle or something like that.
A castle gift.
This is getting harder and harder.
It's gonna be.
The trivia is not
this?
Hard. It's the rules.
A permanent structure.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah. Oh. All right, Gabe.
Yeah. Good luck, anybody else. At this point, I don't even know what the question is.
What time is the 3 o'clock for?
That's it for our show tonight. That's going to wrap it up.
How do I define castle?
It's a permanent structure, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Like a crystal castle.
Yeah. That could be picked up.
Can't be picked up.
Is it a,
yeah. All right.
Is it a castle or could it be a palace?
It's such a brat.
A royal building.
I don't even know what these
are. Crystal Palace?
That's what I was going to say. Like, could you look at the Crystal Palace?
Oh, I see. Crystal Palace. Oh. No, okay. It cannot be.
No.
It's going to be a castle, and it has to be recognized as a castle.
Recognized by whom?
By the Walt Disney World.
Man, you know what I love? What is that? I don't recognize it. Chris, it's
you
a castle.
Not recognized.
Okay. Well, good
Gabe,
luck.
Good luck, Gabe.
Good luck, anybody.
He's a top speed.
Hey, look.
Brainy kid.
Go to our Twitter at Mickey Miles Pod and give us some of your answers because I have no clue what the question is. Forget about what the answer is.
Everybody knows one.
Right? No, no, not at all.
Crystal Palace.
No.
Yeah.
It's not a palace. It's a.
It's a freestanding structure.
Oh, it's a restaurant. The castle cannot be a restaurant. How's that?
It's a palace that I cannot pick up.
Oh my god. Oh, so we can't go to the little crystal stores where they have the castles for sale or the toy stores or anything. Huh? Anyway,
the gift shop in the Contemporary and buy a castle for your granddaughter. Yeah. For your future granddaughter, Chris.
I need a drink after this one. Okay. So moving on, I know where this is gonna be a running joke today. Michelle, this week was the Boston Marathon for 2021. Did you see any castles there?
Well, kind of. Trinity Church looks like a castle, but no, did not see any castles. Saw lots of runners. The field was a lot smaller, but mm-hmm. did not see any castles. Yes.
You
I saw
volunteered.
The governor of Massachusetts a few times. Yes, I did.
So explain, where were you? What were you doing?
Yeah, so I don't know how I got this gig, but I was an ambassador. I was really in the area that was in a huge lockdown. I was behind the medical tents near the finish line, behind the Boston Public Library, which is where the finish line to the Boston Marathon is, and near the VIP area and the ambulances and police officers, and I saw FBI and SWAT and bomb squad, and I was with, we're all the action ones. So
wow.
Yeah, it was really interesting. Really interesting.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, so I guess as it relates to Run Disney and what's going on, can you give us an idea of what sort of protocols they had, especially in place when it comes to COVID security and things
yeah.
like that?
It's really interesting, and I definitely was paying a lot of attention because of the podcast and thinking of Run Disney. So first of all, we had to, you either had to, as a runner or a volunteer, you had to go to Boston a few days before, or for volunteers the morning of, and actually show your vaccination card, or that you had tested negative in the previous 48 hours. That was at 6:30 in the morning. So once you did that, you got a wristband that showed that you were checked. And then every single point from then on, from 6:30 till the time I left at 5 p.m., I had to wear my mask all the time, as did everybody else who was volunteering, anybody else in that area. All the runners, I saw runners getting ready to get on the buses. Everybody was masked. The only time when I didn't see a runner have a mask was I saw the elite women finishing. They had just come off the course and they did not have a mask for a few minutes, but then they put their masks right on. So it was so much locked down to the point that the area that I was in, you had to have certain credentials to actually go in, and we wouldn't even let people in if they had credentials, but they didn't have the wristband indicating that they had been COVID checked. And it was just the first year for me, but I was there with people who had volunteered from 15 to 25 years. So these were experts who had been through everything, and they just said, nope, no. A Boston police officer tried to bring somebody in, said, nope, you don't have your COVID wristband. You can't come in. Because we were actually in the medical area, but I saw the governor of Massachusetts a few times, he and his entire entourage all wearing masks. Everybody wore masks the entire time. So I was out on my feet for 11 hours and felt very safe in that regard. So it really did make me think about Run Disney and what was going to happen, and the protocols that they might set into place.
Yeah. I mean, I was definitely, I was surprised when you told me offline about all of the precautions and what they, how they stayed ahead, and they contacted you ahead of time and asked you all this kind of stuff. And we still haven't heard from Run Disney about their plans, but based on what happened on the 50th anniversary and how things seemed very lax, I heard stories of people just walking into indoor stores without wearing masks. People were just not really following the rules. I wonder what they're going to do for, because we are coming up, Mike, on the we're counting down to the wine and dine, and today they gave out, or they posted the maps for the 10K and the half marathon. Did you take a look at it? Did you notice anything different?
It looks like the one that we used to run when the wine and dine was at least at night. I haven't run it during the daytime, but I would think that the half marathon during the daytime was the same route that all the other half marathons were. One of the things that I'm wondering is I would assume, I'm not sure, I'm not positive, but I would think that John Hughes is still running the show down there. And I know he talks to Dave McGilvery, so who runs the Boston.
I saw him too. Yeah, he's the race director.
Right. So, Dave, Michelle, before I go any further, tell everybody what Dave McGilvery does after the Boston Marathon.
Oh, yeah. So Dave McGilvery is the director of the Boston Marathon, running around. You know, if I was there at 6:30, I'm sure he was there earlier. Goes through the whole day till the last person finishes, then hikes his way out with a cohort of friends out to Hopkinton, Mass., and runs the whole Boston Marathon course at the end of the day. So after that very long day, he runs a marathon. Yeah. And one of his buddies actually ran the marathon, went back out to Hopkinton and ran it again with him. So I feel like such a slacker.
Does he run it backwards?
No, he runs with the.
And didn't he have open heart surgery like a couple of weeks?
Yeah, like less than 2 years ago, he had open heart surgery. But yeah.
My point, thank you, Michelle. My point is that, you know, I know he talks to Dave. I mean, I know that John talks with Dave. And you would think that they would keep in touch, and why wouldn't John say to Dave, hey, how did it go? What did you do? How did it work? But you look on the Run Disney site, Chris, and I've been going through, I've been looking at the race event, I've been looking at runner information, I've been looking at spectator info, I've been looking at race policies. I don't see anything involving guidelines for COVID, considerations.
And, you know, but I was actually having this conversation with somebody about differences in protocols between Massachusetts and New Hampshire today. And, it's a little easier to do it in Massachusetts because everything's so locked down still in Mass.
Yeah.
I feel very lucky to live in Massachusetts, to work in Massachusetts and not work in New Hampshire. So I'm not sure how it would be to run the same race.
Well, Run Disney is a closed course, though. It's all on the property. They have more control than
What's interesting,
BAA
too,
has, you know.
I know we've gotten grief for being political, but again, part of this stuff is what comes down. The governor of Texas said that he was not going to allow any companies to enforce vaccine mandates. I think Florida is in the same kind of boat, and I'm wondering if they're going to do the same thing. Are they going to tell Disney that they can't enforce a vaccine or a negative test for the race? I don't know. Okay, Mike, more importantly, on the map, did you see any castles? How many? It could be only three, not four or five, or all of them.
Can they be palaces?
Only the Crystal Palace.
There and actually I cannot answer that because I would be giving away a clue.
I know. The map looks fairly, right, like you said, typical. It goes through the Animal Kingdom and then comes back into Epcot. I don't remember. I did the Wine and Dine. I can't even remember how many years ago. It was one of the last years that they did the nighttime ones. Like I said, I told you guys, the only thing I remember from that race was that it was drizzling a little bit during the race. It was dark, obviously. And the finish line, they normally give out these weird bottle/glasses of wine. And it was awful. It was like the worst wine you'd ever want to taste.
Yeah, it was
so
really bad.
Yeah.
I always had the beer.
Yeah. Yeah, who knew? I didn't even think there was a beer available when I went. It was just a white or red wine. And I took red and regretted it right after, but
the white was not good either.
No.
Mm-mm.
No. But it's interesting because now, we mentioned we're less than 30 days out from this, and they have not indicated that a vaccine is required. And so, I mean, you could still be a negative test, but you know, can you imagine paying all this money to go down there, do this stuff? Maybe you didn't want to get the vaccine, whatever your reasons are for not getting the vaccine. We're not going to discuss here, but you get down there and then you test positive. You're out. Like, I mean, Disney's not going to refund your money, I would assume.
Well, that assumes you're going to be tested.
Well, you have to.
Are they going?
Well, right. You're right. I would just assume that if they don't do a vaccine mandate, they're going to at least require a negative COVID test. Again, they may not do that, right? I mean, we don't know. And I guess Florida is being that, you know, wild card. You don't know what they're going
to
do.
You know, let's sort of apply this to what's going on right now. You don't to go to the Magic Kingdom, to go to Epcot, you don't have to show that you're vaccinated. You don't have to show that you're have a negative COVID test.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to wear a mask, right, if you're outside.
Mm-hmm.
So the least common denominator to me says that you're outside in the corrals and running the race, that you would not have to have any of those things in place.
Yeah. I think I sent you guys a week or so ago. There was a Runner's World article about doing these kind of marathons and stuff in the age of this pandemic and what security, you know, things. And it was a pretty logical, normal stuff. You know, when you're on the buses there, wear your mask, which I'm sure Disney will enforce because they're trying to do the indoor thing. But even in the race corrals and ahead of time and afterward, put those masks on to make sure that you're safe. But the problem is it's a wild card on the course. I mean, you're going to be dealing with a lot of people huffing and puffing, breathing in your face.
People handing you water
and, gel, yeah. Bananas. I'm sure I wonder if the volunteers are going to be required to wear masks. You know, I think about the bands that used to be like right on the side of the course blowing their horns right in your face. And do they now get sent back like a bunch of, I don't know. I mean, again, we don't know because Disney hasn't even given us an indication what their requirements are.
Well, you know, something that's something that sticks in my mind, Chris, when Michelle and I volunteered a couple of times, we did the medals, which we wanted to do the medals. And it was interesting. There were about maybe 30 volunteers who were assigned to the medals. But of those 30, maybe 10 were willing to actually put medals over people's heads. They didn't want to touch people. Oh, they're sweaty and everything. And so I'm thinking, does that mean there's going to be even fewer volunteers who won't mind doing that or, you know, taking the risk? And I would guess that those volunteers will have masks, possibly shields, possibly plastic gloves to, you know, to put the medals over people's heads. There's so many things that are going through my mind that they haven't said anything. And it's just, it just makes me wonder. We mentioned this last week, Chris, and I think the same thing holds. Not all the races are sold out for that particular weekend, I don't think.
And I definitely think, as my friend Nate said, I think it's going to be a trial run for the marathon weekend, like see how it goes and what they're going to do and what lessons they're going to learn. And I feel bad that there are people that are going to be like the test dummies for this. I would think they'd want to err on the side of caution, but you know, it would be nice to hear what their plans are. But I think until we do, we're sort of guessing and we can't really speculate what their plan is. So
the 5K is sold out.
Right.
This 5K. Everything else is still available. The one, the 10K, the half, the two course challenge. Even the post-race party. I never realized this because I always was running, but I never realized, I completely forgot that if you have your family, let's say you were running and Audra wasn't, and she wanted to join you for the post-race party, she had to pay $89 to get in. It's just,
right.
I don't know. They don't forget to do that. They don't forget to post that, but they forget to post guidelines.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see when this stuff comes in. And I guess on one of these shows, we'll finally talk about it. But so on that note, any final words, Michelle, about the Boston? Did you enjoy your time there? Was it fun? Was it anything different or exciting that you found enjoyable as a volunteer?
It was really fun. The jacket is kick-ass, so that's awesome. You get the jacket, which is really wonderful. Really? One of the impressions that I had was I was really, really surprised by how many people had made no plans about how to meet their runners, which is most of what I did, is to tell people where they might meet their runners. But also, you know, sadly, the lockdown in that area was really astounding. So I told you that, you know, I saw FBI and SWAT and all that stuff. The area that I was, they had construction vehicles and DPW vehicles all around the area that were sort of blocking off the area. I was around about 12 police officers all day long, but there were sharpshooters up on the on Boylston Street, which is the area where the you know, the finish line is. It's, you know, it's kind of a sad statement about what's happened, but to me, I thought it was very, very organized, and I was recruited to do it again in April, which is when the traditional time of the Boston Marathon is Patriots Day, and I will do it again. So it's kind of nice to give back to the community, and I was exhausted, honestly, but but I'm happy that I did it, and I'll do it again. So yeah. Nice folks.
Awesome. Good to hear. Okay. So what do you say? Do you want to move on to our final destination for wait times, Michael?
Let's do it.
All right. Get your pen and paper out, Mike, because you're going to take down our times. Again, for the final time, if you've missed the previous episodes, what we're doing here is based on the Genie Plus system, if you don't want to buy any passes. So I think, Michelle, it's $15 a day to get onto 40 Disney rides. Is that correct?
I think that's what I understand. Okay. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Certain rides. And then you could also buy individual a la carte for certain rides like Rise of the Resistance. You can spend additional money, which they gave us the numbers for.
$15 per person.
Per person. Sorry. Right. Mm-hmm. So what would happen if you didn't buy into this? How long would you be willing to wait for these attractions in a full day? So we're going to go through each attraction now at the Animal Kingdom and decide how long would you wait for this attraction. Michelle will be going as a solo, Mike will be going as a couple, and I will be going as a family of four with two children ages 8 and 10. So that will factor into our wait times. We're going to start off with one of the probably the highest one in the park right now. Michelle, Avatar Flight of Passage. How long are you going to wait?
Yeah, if I were by myself, I'd wait 60 minutes for that. I've only ridden it once. It was
really
awesome. Yeah, I didn't have a great experience because I had a gentleman next to me who was super excited, who screamed into my ear so loudly that I honestly couldn't enjoy the attraction. Oh. But yeah, I've only been on it once. Liked it very much, but I would wait 60 minutes by myself in the line.
Wow. Mike, what about you?
I have not been on, so my default will be 30 minutes.
Oh, dear. Wow, that's an interesting move. We've been on a number of times. It's definitely one of those rides. It's gotten to the point where with my kids, it's been, let's go over there. We'll do Expedition Everest, Flight of Passage, Kilimanjaro Safaris, maybe Dinosaur, and get the heck out of the park. Like it's come down to that. But Avatar Flight of Passage is one of the big ones. Yeah, I would definitely say, at least 60 minutes. I would probably go, depending with the kids. The problem is if you have little kids, the wait is kind of brutal after a while. So bring their cell phones so they can play games. But I would say 60 minutes. So.
Yeah, I will say that I probably might add on to that if I could go at night, because it's so cool at night to be there.
Yeah.
To see the, you know, the pretend that park is wonderful at bioluminescence. Night. Yeah, it really is. It's very charming.
Very nice. One of the other attractions we've discussed, or I just mentioned, was Dinosaur. It's getting a little long in the tooth, no pun intended. But still one of those rides that is enjoyable. Michelle, how long are you waiting for Dinosaur?
I'd wait 30 minutes for Dinosaur.
Yeah.
I like the Bill Nye kind of setup and the, it's, you know,
the science thing.
Dinosaurs. Not much has changed in the research of dinosaurs, but
well, they think a lot of them had feathers and they don't show the feathers. So
Yeah, I do like the, you know, is the Felicia Rashad and the Wallace, whatever his name is. I do like the setup for that. It's not old for me. And I do like the attraction, and I like the part where they say it's a vegetarian. So, so 30 minutes for me, Michael.
Yeah. I think that this attraction has legs, and I think that it's going to be around for a lot longer than people would imagine. I'm going to say 30 minutes too. I think it's enjoyable. I think that it's probably really popular with the kids who are discovering dinosaurs, you know, every day. Mm-hmm. So 30 minutes for me, Chris.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think a lot of people forget this. This was actually based on a Disney animated movie. Like that final dinosaur they're going after is the dinosaur from that movie. Then was it called Dinosaur? I didn't even know what it was called.
Yes, it was called Dinosaur. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
the animation on that looks so lame.
So old now. It was really early in the computer animation, and it was just kind of clunky. Even in the ride, it looks a little clunky in that exit queue and stuff.
Yep.
So, you know, it's kind of the point, you know, the kids would love it. My kids these days, if it's more than 15, we're like, later, we'll go over to Restaurantosaurus and get a burger instead. But I think when they're younger ones, they're going to love it. And I would wait at least 45 minutes for that one. The max would be 45 minutes, but the kids truly love the whole dinosaur experience. I know my kids freaked out at that last photo op, you know, so that's always good. Geez, we're hitting all the heavy ones up front, Michelle. The next one up is Expedition Everest. Technically, it's called Expedition Everest, Legend of the Forbidden Mountain. I remember waiting years ago for that ride to be built and seeing the structure coming up and waiting to finally have a park that I could spend more than 2 hours in. But Michelle, what's your wait time on that one?
Gosh, it's a favorite. I really like this attraction. I usually go in the single rider line. I think I waited 45 minutes last time I went in, because it's interesting for that attraction. If you get a cast member who doesn't know how to manage the single rider line, it can be a lot longer wait. I think I would wait an hour if it were just me. I really, really like it. And again, especially at night, there was one year when I went with my family, and I think we went on 6 times in a row at night. We just got off and went on. At that, I never get nauseous, but after the 6th time, I was like, I think that's enough. But it's really, really pretty at night. Even if it was daytime, I think an hour. Just, it's really fun. I think the theming is amazing. The, you know, the roller coaster aspect of it going backwards is amazing. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, 60 minutes for me.
Hey, Mike, you know, during the marathon, people tend
me?
To stop.
I did.
I was going to say, like Michelle, tend to stop and actually go onto Expedition Everest in the middle of the race. I don't know. Would you be willing, Michelle, to wait 45 minutes? I don't think so. Not during the race. But
we just walked on.
Yeah. Mike, you and your significant other, how long are you going to wait for Expedition Everest?
So during the first year of its operation, I think I would have said an hour. And I remember waiting an hour to get on it the first time I rode it. But, you know, thinking about the length of the attraction and the fact that, you know, they will never, ever, ever take the Yeti out of Plan B. The way it is right now, I'm 15 minutes. I mean, after all, it's just a roller coaster, but it's a very short roller coaster ride. Yeah, you get the big dip and you go backwards and you turn around and everything. But I really think that part of the draw was the Yeti and the whole story. I think, though, that having said that, I will say it's got one of the better queues in all of Walt Disney World. But I would say 15 minutes for me.
Yeah. It's interesting. The animatronic actually was starting to crack the foundation, so they had to stop it from moving. Interesting. With kids, you know, they definitely want to go on this one, and you're going to wait a while. Here's a little tip I would say. Bring some coins with you for the queue. They have like the alms that you – they have little cups and stuff like that you can throw coins into – during the queue. My kids, I would bring change with me to the Animal Kingdom, and they would try to toss the coins into the cups or whatever on that little area over there. Ring the bells as you go by. But I would definitely, with kids, probably wait at least 45 minutes because I think they really love the fun of a roller coaster, especially the going backwards part. They love that. It's something different. And
it's also a really fun shop, too, I think.
Yeah. We.
But that's not part of the
wait. It's always the first ride that we go on when we go. The kids beeline, even to this day, go to Expedition Everest. So it's a good move. All right, moving on. We're going to do something a little less dramatic, but yet a little scary for some people. Michelle, it's tough to be a bug. How long are you waiting to go see that
one? I love the one. I'd wait a half an hour.
Yeah.
Jell and bugs. She loves bugs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Cool. All the different you know, the bug spray and the bugs, you know, out underneath you after before you get to leave the theater and the bees singing you. I think it's a great one.
Yeah, Mike,
love the animatronics, love the video, love the spiders.
I was literally gonna say, Mike, do you like the spiders dropping down? Because that usually scares everybody in the theater.
You know, you haven't lived until you've been at Walt Disney World and you're walking out of Epcot and you see Michelle get excited at a spider that's hanging on the light.
Plus also the queue line, all the cool songs in there. Beauty and the Bees, come on. You love puns, you love bugs.
Yeah, I think that it's a really good show. I think they've done a good job with that attraction. It's going to be around for a while. I would wait 30 minutes for that. No longer, no shorter. Well, yeah, shorter, I guess. But 30 minutes, I mean, I really enjoy all the audio animatrons. And the nice thing about that attraction is that it hasn't changed since day one. They haven't adjusted anything. They haven't, I mean, not that they needed to, but there are some attractions that over the years they cut out things. And I'll be talking about one in particular in this show. But I'd say 30 minutes for me.
Yeah. The queue, like you said, Michelle, is very interesting. The Tree of Life has a lot of sculptures of animals in there. And there is, to toot my own horn, a Jane Goodall little plaque in there with one of her gorillas so that you can spot a little thing. And I actually took pictures. And as somebody who did the book on Jane Goodall, it's cool to sort of catch up with her.
Where is that? I don't know where that plaque is.
In the Tree of Life? Yep, on the Tree of Life. As you're going in. I'm trying to remember what the name of the gorilla was. Darn, it was on the tip of my tongue.
Dreams?
Oh. No. But if you go through the queue, so next time you go there, maybe go back to see the attraction and you can see the little plaque there. My kids actually loved it when they were younger. Obviously, as they're older, they're like, done. We don't need to see this. But when they were younger, we would definitely go at least actually with kids 45 minutes. I think we'd actually wait 45 minutes to get in there.
Plus it's the since you get to, you know, when you're just before you go in the theater, it's so nice and cool in there. Mm-hmm. So when you're really warm in a hot Florida day, it's
good excuse
nice.
To get cool. Yep.
Mm-hmm. In 3D.
Yep, you got your glasses, and it's a fun little ride. And then at the end, there's a little surprise. I won't spoil for people who haven't been on, but just as you're about to leave, they let the bugs leave first. So I it's fun watching people leap out of their seats. Next up, Michelle, it's so funny. I don't think I've ever heard you guys talk about this attraction. We've only gone on a number of times because it is kind of a chore. It's almost like the one you have to go on at the end of your day at Animal Kingdom, Kali River Rapids.
Oh, I don't know that I've ever been on that attraction with Mike before. It's a tough one for me. I love the attraction. Mm-hmm. I don't love being soaking wet in the humid Florida weather. If I had a poncho, I would wait probably 30 minutes by myself. I have been on by myself, but you can, I remember once with Evan, there's like a classic family picture that we have of he and I soaked to the bone after being on that attraction, big smiles, but never got dry after that. Yeah. So if I had the right gear, 30 minutes.
Okay. Mike, what about you guys?
Yeah, I've heard so many people say, you know, I've done it once and I don't really want to get wet and everything, unless you're really into getting wet. So I'm going to say 15 minutes.
Have you been on it?
I haven't been on it, but just watching it, it doesn't appeal to me. So 15 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fun ride. The kids, you know, it really is a crapshoot about who gets wet. On some times you go on and you're bone dry coming out of there. I'm always the one that gets the splash when you hit the bottom. And then there's always those people at the end of the ride who they're like these little hoses just as you're coming towards the end of the attraction, who just want to spray everybody in the boat. And you're like, dude, really? And you can't take your shoes off. So you can't like save your sneakers and your socks or whatever. So you got to be really careful about what you're wearing. We tended to go on it as the last attraction, and we knew, and usually in the hot summer, so that we dry off by the time we got back to the buses. But we definitely went as far as 45 minutes for Kali. That was our one. Michelle, so in our family, we tend to go to Expedition Everest first, followed up by this attraction, which is interesting. My kids absolutely love this. It's not exciting in a thrill ride kind of way, but it is kind of fun and interesting, and you always learn something on Kilimanjaro safaris.
So here's my story about that. So
I know, Miss, I've been on a real safari.
Yeah, I used to lead safaris in Africa, and I would not go on that attraction for years because I was such a snob about it. Then finally we went on, and it is exactly like being in Africa. You have to drive around a lot more to see animals and things like that, but it is very much like being in Africa. I am so impressed by that attraction. I would wait 30 minutes. My only little pet peeve is that they call it a baobab tree, and it's called a baobab tree, but anyway, but it really, really, really does feel like you're on safari. The vehicles feel the same. It's very impressive. I blew my socks off, actually. So I'd wait 30 minutes for that one, just to be able to even take people who'd never been on safari before.
Mike, I will say, much like the Jungle Cruise in Magic Kingdom, Kilimanjaro safaris can be made so much better by the driver. I found that some drivers tend to be just very by the book, and some are just really good at this thing. And, you know, when you're lucky enough to have one of those, it's worth an even longer wait. So what would you be waiting?
And, you know, Chris, I agree with you. I think you can tell which cast members are really into it and which ones aren't, and they really do make a difference. And because of that, I'm going to go with the 30-minute limit with me, because there's no guarantee you're going to get the most entertaining driver. But, you know, you're always going to get, you know, a chance to see some animals. And every time you go on that attraction, it's a different experience. They've adjusted that over the years a little bit. But I think 30 minutes would be my limit. I like it because you get to sit down and relax, although it's kind of bumpy at times.
Mm. Try Africa if you think that's bumpy.
Yeah, right. I will say, with the younger kids, the 8 to 10-year-olds, they're going to love seeing animals. Like being so close to an elephant or a giraffe. Like, I don't know how many times we've been on the attraction and had like a rhino like within 5 feet of us, or an elephant nearby, or a giraffe kind of walking in front of our path. It's wonderful for the kids. So I'm thinking even 45 minutes for us with the kids would be worth it. And I know they've changed the story over the years. They've added and subtracted things, but I think the real joy is just seeing live animals out there on the plains, and especially hoping that you get to see the lions when they're not sleeping. Michelle, one of the newer attractions that came along with Avatar was the Navi River Journey, which I don't think gets as much credit as the other one, but how long are you willing to wait for that attraction?
I'm not a huge fan because it doesn't have a story. I like the some of the technology, but I would wait 15 minutes. It's okay. I don't know. It's kind of disappointing to me. I would wait longer for Small World than I would for that one.
I mean, it is a very similar to like Small World or oh God, what's the attraction in Mexico? What's the technical name now? Not the Three Caballeros, but it's the...
Oh my God.
Did I totally just stump you guys? And everybody's screaming at their headphones right now. Mike, what, you forgetting the name of...
Give me 1 second and I will get it.
I know, he's looking it up. I was, and while you're looking it up, are we going to talk about the Maharaja Jungle Trek? Because it's not really a wait, right? You just can walk in at any time. So I'm gonna skip that one.
I love it though. Love that one.
Oh, I do too. And you know, it was funny when I first took the kids; they were not interested at all. And then once we started walking through and they saw tigers and stuff, they were like in. We're like, oh, we're in. We're good.
Grand Fiesta Tour.
Grand Fiesta Tour. Okay, so. So Navi River, we went on it, I think, once with the kids, and they were like, done. So at this point, this is the ride that if Avatar is like a solid hour, hour and a half, and Navi was 15 minutes, we'd just go on Navi and call it a day. So I'm thinking like 15 minutes. It's, yes, you're right, the technology is great, but it's just not anything exciting or interesting or new or different. That
I honestly would own that I have never really seen the whole Avatar. I've seen some of the movie. So maybe there's a storyline that I'm missing.
The final animatronic is amazing. It's very fluid, but it's sort of like, again, I think back to Star Wars and what George Lucas said in his first thing. All the special effects in the world don't make up for a good story. And it looks great, but there's no story there. And I'm not connecting to that at all. So.
Right, right.
So
I think that's the biggest complaint I have with new attractions is, or like the fireworks. Like, what's the story? I need the story. I need to kind of be bought into it.
Yeah, you just want to be a part of it. So, moving on, we're gonna, you know, there. What was the attraction they just got rid of? What was the one that kind of goes around and around, the spin ride? But
The Triceratops.
No, that's the one that I'm gonna bring up. But there was another attraction right next door that they're getting rid of. But Triceratops Spin, which is a take on Dumbo and the Magic Carpets.
Primeval World.
Right. They just, I think they're getting rid of that attraction. Mm-hmm, so. Mm-hmm. So Triceratops Spin, Michelle, much more of a kid's attraction. What are you waiting?
15. It's really not much different than what I could get at our local kind of hacky sort of amusement park.
Which is sort of the point of that whole section.
I get it. It's fine. But I think the thing that, there are two things that bother me about that attraction. Number one is that you're crunched in with everybody. Number two is that there's not a lot of room to sit. So you can really be crunched. You could be crunched in with strangers and you could just be crunched in general. So
yeah. Mike, what are you thinking?
It's a Coney Island ride, so it's 15 minutes for me. Yeah.
Nowadays, I would agree with you. It's not even worth the wait. It's, you know, especially now that Dumbo's got like two rides going at the same time and there's no wait. This is just a poor man's version of it. But with 8 and 10, they want to go on it. So I would even go as far as half an hour for this one, just for the kids. As an adult, I'd be like, give me a break. I'm not doing this. But Animal Kingdom is not big on attractions. So we're sort of running out of heavy duty ones here. I'm even loath to bring this one up, but if you want to go to what's it called? It's the affection section and all that stuff. You have to take the Wildlife Express train.
Rafiki's
Planet Watch or whatever it's called.
I think, well, if I were you and I were going with an 8 and 10 year old, I might wait longer.
Right.
I probably wouldn't do it on my own.
I mean, it's a pretty regular thing, and then a lot of people get on it and go back and forth, and not everybody's on it. So I don't think it's a very long wait to begin with.
I would wait probably at least a half an hour for the Festival of the Lion King, though.
True. But we're not there yet.
No, I know. Yeah.
But how long would you wait for the Wildlife Train Express?
Not zero. Rafiki? Yeah, nope.
Yeah.
I would wait probably 45 minutes for its coming back, Finding Nemo the musical.
Oh, it is coming back.
I thought. Are we bringing that in? Yeah. Isn't it coming back, Michael?
Coming back, and we're gonna be. They're revising some of it.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what that means. Yeah. Maybe new costumes, maybe a new sign. I'm pretty sure that's gonna be it.
Mike, what about you? Wildlife Express train to go hang out in Rafiki's Planet Watch.
Well, it's pretty much off my radar, so I would say 15 minutes.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat. I mean, even with the kids, it's never going to be more than 15 minutes anyway. The train kind of comes and goes pretty darn quick, so that's good. Here's what's interesting. I think none of us at this point, 8 and 10 even, would bother going to the Boneyard. Have you ever gone to the Boneyard?
Oh,
you did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When my kids were little, it was a must stop. They loved it. Right. Loved it. Yeah, they did.
I don't think it's really a wait. People just kind of, you just get in. So I'm not going to even play that game. Mm. Boy, look at this line. It's all of just the animals. I think the last one, you're right, though, Michelle, is Festival of the Lion King. What are you waiting to get onto that one?
Did I already say 30 minutes, probably?
Okay.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see how I know that they changed it. With the COVID protocols changed it.
Yeah, that's the one that I mentioned earlier in the show that has changed. They've cut it by half. At least it's half as long as the original now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what songs they've cut out. I think that the monkeys are no longer there.
Oh, I thought you meant half of the people.
No, the show used to be, I don't remember how long it used to be, but whatever it was before, it's now half as long.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just turning people around much, much quicker. So I would have waited 45 minutes for that in the past, but now I'll say 30 minutes.
Interesting. Yeah. It was funny. That was an attraction where my wife really wanted to go see it, and the kids were just not interested at all. And then they got into it and saw it and loved it. There was it really was a festival. It was just a fun, interesting event. I would definitely say at least a half an hour for them.
I always think, Chris, too, when we're thinking about these wait times, where I'm waiting, and I mm-hmm. think for this one in particular, it's not it's covered, but it's not particularly cool. So that would impact
true
how I would wait for this. You know, we're tough to be a bug. You're inside in air conditioning. So
yeah, I mean, and the other thing is, I don't know if you want to go through. I haven't even seen the new birds attraction. I think that those are definitely not like what we're talking about in terms of wait times. So Mike, why don't you tally up? By the way, the one thing I will say, though, I will wait at least 15 minutes to go to the Nomad Lounge, Michelle.
Oh, yeah. More than that, my friend. 45.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I know. My wife and I love going to the Nomad Lounge, which is just outside of the Avatar land. If you've never been.
My first experience with that, was before Avatar was opened. Mm-hmm. And nobody knew about it. Oh,
right.
The cheese plate was amazing.
It used to be great because you go in there and there was no wait and you could just sit and get a beer and, get like a little snack and nobody was there. Now it's literally by the time it opens up in the morning, there's already a wait. Like our last trip, we were like, that's all my wife was excited about was going to the Nomad Lounge. And the first time we went, it was like a 45 minute wait. And we were kind of disappointed. We did eventually get in there, but it is a wonderful experience. And
very, very relaxing and nice. Would you, Chris, wait for any of the restaurants? Like, well, that is one of them, but we used to have, I don't know if it's actually, I don't think it's still around. We used to have a Rainforest Cafe up in our nearest mall in Massachusetts. Yeah. Never waited for that, but the Yak and Yeti, would you wait for that?
Here's the funny part. My wife and my kids have no ability to try anything other than the basics. Like if it's any kind of food that's out of the traditional, you know, burgers and hot dogs and grilled cheese and stuff like that, chicken nuggets, like it doesn't happen. I want to go to these places. I want, like, you know, and I sort of have to do the, you know, you go to the barbecue or you go, you know, take out the to-go stuff or, you know, whatever it can be. Like, I can't get them to Tusker House. I'm not getting them to anything.
Tusker House, I'd wait for a long, long time. But yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I really want to go.
Even as a vegetarian, there are a lot of choices for Yak and Yeti and for
Tusker House. Just to try different kinds of foods. I mean, I know the tendency is for most visitors to go with the tried and true. You know, it's like they love to go to the Italian place on the boardwalk, Trattoria Al Forno, whatever it's called, or
Trattoria Al Forno, yeah.
And so they go for the simple Italian that everybody's used to. But I want to try new foods. I want to try something different. My family is so not into it.
Christopher.
I'll have to go with you guys next time. Leave my family at home.
Yeah, bye.
Maybe over a marathon weekend, we'll just ditch my wife and kids and three of us can go. And
You'll have other family members there too, right?
Yeah, actually for the marathon, my two nieces are going to be running with us. My kids are going to be running the half with us. We're still figuring out their college schedule, so they might be leaving a bit earlier. So my wife and I might have a few extra days enjoying some cheese platters and wine and all that fun stuff for a few days.
He said cheese platters.
Cheese boards.
All right, what's the final verdict?
All right, what's the tally, Mike? Hey,
Monsieur?
So here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
So let's start with the person who is the most patient.
Me.
Of the three, and it's Chris. Your average wait time is 39 minutes.
Yeah.
And your total time in the park for waiting is 6 hours and 30 minutes.
Better than previous parks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For Michelle, her average wait time is 31 and a half minutes, and her total wait time is 5 hours and 15 minutes. Hmm. And then we get to me, who is, you know,
not having any of it.
Yeah. My average wait is 22.5 minutes. Wow. And I'm spending, and I think this is a lot, I'm spending 3 hours and 45 minutes in line. I think that's a lot. And I think this is a commentary on the theme park itself. When I take a look at this, it doesn't seem like, with me, I think it's probably the same, but for you two, I see impatience that I didn't see in the other three parks. So this could mean that you're not really crazy about the attractions in the park. There are not enough attractions in the park that you are really, let me put it another way. This park does not have attractive attractions, you know? So that's what the scientific data tells me.
We used to always say that this is a half day park. Do you guys consider this still a half day park?
Oh yeah. Yeah. 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock and I'm out of there.
Even with the Avatar ride added, it's still a half day park, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, having said that, I would like to see it at night. I'd like to see Avatar at night, see what that looks like. But other than that,
I say more than a half day. If you do the two different trails, spend an hour at the Nomad Lounge.
at least
5 hours, 6 hours.
Six hours. I don't know. Six hours would be more than a half a day to me. I think half a day is like 3 to 4 hours. Mm-hmm. I think it's longer. I really enjoy it. You know, doing what a lot of people don't do, walking by all the animals when you're leaving and coming in. I don't know. I think there's a lot.
Yeah, if you go into it, think of it as a zoo, you know, right? They used to do that, not a zoo, was their slogan for a while. But I think if you think of it that way, you might want to spend more time. It's definitely a more relaxed park than the others. And if you enjoy that, I think older people, sorry, Mike, tend to like the park just for the walking around, seeing the animals and whatever.
That's right. I like to see those animals.
back in the day.
My
friends the dinosaurs aren't around anymore. But,
we can talk at another time about other things that I've done, like some behind the scenes and the different things that you can do there. I've had some really, really fun experiences on behind the scenes tours, but that's not for this podcast.
Before we go, Chris, I just thought I may have a little hint for the trivia question that I want to.
We're going back?
We're back to the beginning.
So
the palace is not a castle.
Of the three castles that I'm thinking of that I want to hear from, or any three castles like this, two of them allow you to cross over a moat. One of them does not. And there you go.
Oh, dear Lord. Him and his trivia. Okay. So,
All
right. Well, let's kind of put a pin in there. I will say,
and
just
pop
by
it.
The way, pop that balloon. I will say, just as a selfish thing, next week, starting on Tuesday, our next book, I Am Oprah Winfrey, is out in stores, and I will be on tour to promote it. So I'd love you to go out and maybe pick it up for your kids.
Pick it up for my kids. Picked it up for me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
It's actually a very interesting story, and there's a lot more to her than you would originally think. So
I got to see her in person. Yeah.
You'll get to see Brad on he's gonna be on Rachel Ray, and he's gonna be on Kelly
Clarkson,
and a few other places as well. So keep an eye out on your social media. But for us, that's going to wrap it up. If you want to reach out to us, send a message on Twitter. We're at Mickey Miles Pod. So for Dr. Michelle Scribner McLean, Mike the Castle Scopa, I'm Chris Adopoulos. We'll see you on the road in the parks.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.